And I'm Noah, and you're listening to A Bite Of,
where we take our current favorite pop culture obsession and enjoy it one nibble at a time.
So just in advance, I sound a little nasally. I've been sick. I had a cold during the summer.
Yeah, that is not okay. But you were a trooper. You made it through. You were mucinexing like nobody's business. And here we are on the other side.
Yeah, so that's why this episode took a little longer, because I sounded much worse. And, you know, just runny and just like glassy eyed.
Oh,
and
the glassy eyes. It was very sad.
But now we are here to officially talk about Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Indeed.
I'm so happy that there's more LGBTQ content that's not like sad.
Yeah, we're having a really good queer rep month this month.
They said Pride Month might be over, but it's not.
But you know what? I appreciate it, because they're like, yes, Pride Month is in June, but we could spread the queer love throughout the year. So we're ending the summer with some gay stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very happy about it. Speaking of gay stuff, us. You can keep up with us on all the socials. You can find us, just A Bite Of, search it. You'll find us, the little yellow logo,
You're gonna get through this. Power through it, husband. Power through it.
That's not like the last episode where I said Dickerson.
Oh, yes. Yes, we know it was just like completely falling apart. It was great.
But also, so this we'll have a video version of this for our Patreon members. They get it first. So if you would like this as a video, go to Patreon. Free trial or $1 a month, and you get us.
You can see our faces. We both have beards. Yeah.
And then subscribe, leave some stars, do some reviews. The business is done.
Done? All right. Let's do a little synopsis of our movie here. So based on the best-selling novel by Casey McQuiston, Red, White, and Royal Blue follows the son of the President of the United States, Alex Claremont Diaz, as he heads to England to attend the nuptials of Prince Philip. Unfortunately for him, this means he'll have to see Philip's younger brother, Prince Henry, who he's had a bit of beef with since a meeting at a climate summit a few years back.
Ooh.
After a careless cake moment, the pair are forced to pretend they are besties to aid in Alex's mother's re-election campaign. The enemies soon find out they have more in common than they thought, and a budding friendship blossoms into something more.
Ooh, kissy kissy. Ooh.
So, spoiler alert, if you do not want the plot of Red, White, and Royal Blue ruined for you, you know, you've been alerted.
Yeah. So, book and movie, there will be spoils ahead.
Yes. I love this voice. Ahead. So good.
Spoils ahead.
All right. Let us officially take a bite of Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Whee!
All right.
I love, if you look at the credits for this, so Casey McQuiston, you know, this is going to be a thing.
McQuiston.
I love it when the authors are writers for the thing that they're doing the adaptation for. It just makes it so much more like, oh, there's like, I like them looping them into these types of things.
Absolutely.
And you can see that they expanded a little more in the movie with some things, but then it's always interesting to see the omissions that they do from the book.
Yeah, after we had watched, first of all, I agree completely with you, because I think in the past there have been so many just major fumbles of books being made into movies without any of the author's input, and it was just a mess.
Yeah.
And the thing is that with books like Heartstopper, with books like Red, White, and Royal Blue, they have such a following that we want loyal adaptations.
Yeah.
So really including the person who created this world, who created these characters, is just smart on the studio's part. So I do appreciate that as well. But it was funny, after we had watched this, we had mentioned in a prior episode, the first time we watched this, you were actually at a conference in Cleveland and I was home. But we kind of sat on our little Prime Video party line that we had going, and we were like, things were different, right?
Yeah.
Who was missing?
Because we read the book separately. Derek had read it first, and then I had listened to it on audiobook, and I highly recommend it. The book is actually behind Derek. It's the nice pink, red, white, and royal blue colored book.
This is the OG paperback, baby.
There is a new collector's edition, I think, at Barnes & Noble, and it's like a baby blue, but it also has like the quotes on the covers. It's just really cool.
Isn't it always tempting? Like when you have the one version and then they come out with one that has, you know, foil on it and it's just has extra chapters or whatever. It's like, do you go and buy the special collector's edition? Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
If I'm glad. You like okay. It. So we're going to Barnes and Noble after this.
I mean, probably. I do have $5 off. So,
well, now we're talking. We got a coupon.
But this movie as a whole, I think it's so well done. I really like it. Matthew Lopez is the director of it, and they were also a writer. Their only other really credit, I believe, is writing as a staff writer for the Newsroom show. So I think it's funny that they went from one kind of politically central thing to another political thing, but gay. So that's always fun.
Yes.
But it was really well done. I think that they captured the essence of the book. And I think that's the base of, I feel like I'm like dogging like this, but but I think that's the base of what anybody that is a fan of the original source material wants.
Yes.
And I feel like you can change things, right? It's like, okay, you know, we don't have that much time to really sit with some of the stuff. So that's fine. Or maybe melding some of the characters together because creating a cast of like 1,500 people and whittling down to like 15 is probably a little feasible.
Because to make a book, you know, heftier, we have an A plot, a B plot, sometimes a C plot.
And tons of description.
Right. So it's, I believe the movie really did stick to the A plot. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think we had a little bit of a B plot here of his mother's reelection campaign, which we do see in the movie, and we see how involved Alex gets in it. So I think they really did stick true to what was going on. And as someone who loved the book and then watched the movie, I felt like, yeah, the story was still there.
Yeah.
Because, it was kept intact.
Yeah. The election thing was a big catalyst for the story. It kind of gave the book a beginning and an end almost. It's like the election night. That's when the book is going to end. And you can kind of see that as you're reading the book. It's just the in-between stuff that's important. I did miss some of the, you know, English B plots that went around because, you know, his sister, you know, there's a story in there with, you know, her dealing with drugs and stuff like that. And it kind of gave a little bit more layers. I don't think we needed it, but that was a story that I was like, oh, I kind of liked that. And it was interesting that they cut it out.
Some of our side characters lost their depth a little bit.
And also some just didn't exist.
Oh, that's true. Like Alex's sister, like the senator. Yeah. I mean, it's funny for me as a person, when I watch something or when I read something, Noah has a memory where he reads something and then like 2 years later, he's like, well, the scene when they did the thing. And I'm like, what? That happened? So I usually leave something with a feeling, right? It made me feel warm, or I was scared, or I hated it, or whatever. So I left obviously Red, White, and Royal Blue feeling just warm and fuzzy and loving it. But for me, I did remember a scene from the book, which is in the kitchen in England with the Cornettos, which is basically like a Nutty Buddy or whatever here in the US, or a King Cone or whatever. And it's kind of like this deleted scene that's been released on Twitter now. But watching it, that was such, for me, a moment between the two of them where they were kind of coming together and finding common ground that I was really surprised that it was left out of the movie, because I think a lot of fans remembered that from the book.
Well, we had that conversation, right? And, you know, we'll get more into the movie, but I think talking about these book to screen adaptations is kind of fun because, you know, whenever you have a book like Heartstopper and Red, White, and Royal Blue, or even Twilight and Hunger Games and all of those, there's particular things that fans latch onto. So it's that particular scene. That one gets, you know, that one's talked about quite a bit. And it's like, when they don't include it, it's an interesting choice because it's like, well, most of the fan art is like based around this particular scene, or like that's the most quoted thing. So it is interesting, and it's funny that they did film it and they released it as a deleted scene, but it's like, oh, I mean, I didn't miss it and it didn't like take away from the story, but like I was hoping to see it.
Yeah.
And you can see the box next to him whenever they do that like really cool scene where the turkey is in Alex's room and they're talking on the phone, but he appears in his bed, but you see the box next to him. So it was like a little tiny nod.
Yes. And so I think I did miss it a little bit. So what they did well in the movie, right, is that a lot of them getting to know each other happens through text or email.
Right.
And I thought they did that really well, where they were in the room with each other while they were doing other things and, you know, still talking to each other. I thought that was really clever and really well done. But I did feel like in the beginning we were missing more moments of them knowing each other in person.
Well, and also just
and that was one of them.
Yeah, and just that the reason of them not liking each other. You know, I think that it did get over it a little quickly, which is fine. I think looking at it from if you kind of separate yourself from the book, because there's a lot more of them just like not really like, you know, it's they're like flirting, but like hating each other at the mm-hmm, same time. Mm-hmm. And you find out more about that backstory. And I feel like in the movie, they kind of sped it up a little
absolutely.
Bit. Which was fine because that's what we needed.
You're right. I guess what was it? Like it was like a 2-hour movie. I do want to see them more falling in love rather than them still having beef.
Right.
And hating each other.
That's the point.
You know, I guess the one of the scenes that really does sort of open their eyes to each other is visiting the hospital in England. And I guess if you get thrown in a closet with someone and roll around on the floor with them, you fall in love.
There was a little more room in that closet than they were letting on, but it's fine.
It's like when you have a crush and you sit next to each other and your like pinkies are touching a little bit and you're just kind of like, are they going to move? I hope they don't move.
You know how ridiculous that is too? It's just like, why am I so scared to even just like physically kind of touch this person?
Because you don't know if they like you back.
But it's like so funny because it's like you both agreed to go to the movies, right? And you're just like not even paying attention to the movie. And you're like, when do I hold their hand? Is it after we go through the popcorn? Is it during the trailers? Is it like, is the hand going to get sweaty like midway through? You know, so it's like all those things. And it's
my just fingers
crazy.
Are too buttery. Well, it was like, I mean, on our first date, right? We went to Central Park and we sat down on a blanket and we were just sitting next to each other. And all I could think of is, oh my gosh, he's so cute. Oh my gosh, I want to kiss him. And it was just like so hard to even wrap my mind around the fact that this person was here with me. So I guess
I'm so cute.
You're so cute. Even when you have your little stuffy nose, he's just a baby.
You know what's funny about that too is that I had, you know, when we did our first date, the day after we were like, oh, okay, like let's see each other again, which
the
was
drama.
Great. I got strep. The day after. I'm so glad you didn't, which made me so happy because we did kiss. But
like, spoiler alert.
But
on a blanket like, in Central Park.
Well, and you brought Uno.
It's and nice. I brought Uno and a blanket. I brought the blanket too. Just saying.
Well, yeah. You had like a vehicle to be able to bring
it. I made it. I made it cute.
But so I gotten sick and I was like, he's gonna think I'm lying.
I did.
He's gonna think that I'm making an excuse.
I surely did.
I was very sick.
Yes, he was very sick. And we're married now. So it
and
obviously
sick.
Turned out.
Still sick.
He's still sick. Ever since that day, he's had the same cold. Four never years later. Ever.
But back to the hospital scene.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite parts in the book. It is much longer in the book. And we get to see Henry talk to a patient in there. And we get to see his geeky side. And you know, Alex is seeing him kind of be not princely, you know what I mean? And more of like a person. And that's kind of what makes his like, oh, he's not what I thought he was.
Well, right. So Henry's storyline is that he's closed off to the world.
Right.
He's in front of the world, but he can't let them see who he truly is. He lost his father when he was a little younger. So that broke his heart. He's gay. He can't truly love who he wants to love because all eyes are on him. And so all Alex is seeing is this person with just walls around him.
Right.
And so when they go to the hospital, he could see who he really is because in that moment, interacting with those children, he gets to show who he is.
Right.
And that definitely changes Alex's point of view of him because he's like, oh, wait a minute. There is a real person under there.
And I mean, also, it's kind of, you know, Alex, you need to understand that people see you in a certain way, too. In the book, there's a lot more of like them having to go on dates and show that they're with people. And even when there was like whispers of, oh, is he like going with this? And they would like purposefully like get photographed with a woman. So there's a lot more of that. But also Alex puts that persona out. Right. And
absolutely.
He's not really like that. He kind of is like that, but he's not like the ladies' man or anything like that, that the tabloids like to portray him as.
Yeah. And it is interesting that Alex can't really see that he's doing the same thing as well. You know, he thinks that Henry's upper crusty and he's got privilege and
which he does.
But at the yeah. same time, you know, there's a conversation between Alex and his father, and his father's like, do you not see where your bedroom is?
Yeah.
The White House.
We're literally talking and looking at the lawn of the White
House. Exactly. Like, maybe you need to take a step back and reflect on where you are in this world as well. So, you know, I think that they are able to see each other finally for who they are, rather than the preconceived notions of who they always thought they were.
Yeah, the book and the movie do a good job of that, of them kind of coming to terms with themselves. You know, Henry has always known he's gay, but he has to closet it and he has to literally shut it out from the entirety of England, because one of the things that he says is that the prince belongs to England. Mm-hmm. Like, I have centuries of this on my shoulders, which is kind of a scary thought. And it makes me think of like Prince Harry and all the stuff that's coming out with that. And it's like, you know, I think we all kind of knew this, but to hear more of this, or even to a fictionalized version of it, it's like, oh yeah, that does kind of suck.
100%. I thought the same thing of Prince Harry. I never really followed the British monarchy, but we had read Spare for our friend book club. And I do think it let us behind the curtain of seeing the pressure that's on them and how it affects their family relationships, which we also see with this, with Henry and his brother Philip.
Ugh, what a freaking dweeb.
I mean, really.
But he was just like Harry's brother, saying.
He and the actor,
I think that was on purpose.
100%. And the actor that they cast to play this guy just has the weaseliest face.
It's the haircut, because if you see him outside of this movie, he looks fine. But that haircut they gave him, this like high and tight bowl bob thing.
Mm-hmm. He's quite royal.
Yeah. Weird. Just a sniveling plant.
Yeah. And I'm glad he wasn't in that much, because he really would have ruined the time for me.
Yeah.
But our dear Prince Henry is dealing with a lot.
Yeah.
And then there's smooth talking Alex Claremont Diaz, who doesn't really seem to have a care in the world necessarily. He cares deeply for his family. He loves his parents, who are also very loving. And he cares deeply about his mother's position in the world. And he wants to be more involved in her political career. But of course, Cake Gate happens and ruins that all.
That scene was great. It was just how I pictured it in the book. And that was a massive cake. And I think in the book, they said it costs like 30,000, maybe more.
They upped it in this. They said it was 75,000 pounds.
It's too much for a cake. I'm sorry.
There weren't even that many people there.
Those are your tax dollars going into that cake. Like,
listen, I don't know much about taxes, but
especially in England.
Especially in England. A lot of cake.
After our Heartstopper episode and not knowing about the British education system, and somebody on YouTube is like, I'm just going to tell you how this works. Thank you for that, by the way.
Thank you for that. Yes.
But I'm not going to comment on any of
that. No comment.
Because that's how it works.
Exactly. Cake and taxes, we think.
There's a separate cake tax.
You know what? There probably is. It's an itemized bill, and it's like champagne, you know, fancy shoes, cake.
Yeah.
Well, the cake was ginormous.
Yeah.
And I loved that whole little scene. I don't know why it made me giggle when Alex puts his hand on his shoulder and there's the icing over him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, of all the things, don't go near the cake.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that both of these actors, Taylor, oh my God.
He's just a baby.
But Taylor and Nicholas, they're great. I think that, you know, I think, what was it? Taylor Perez is known for The Kissing Booth, I believe.
Taylor Zakar Perez.
Yeah.
And Nicholas Galitzine.
That's how he kind of talks in real life, right?
There are a lot of videos. They've done it for a number of outlets where they're asked to do impressions of each other. And Nick's impression of Taylor is hilarious. And it sounds just like that. Like, hey, what's up? I'm Taylor Zakar Perez. You might know me from such things as The Kissing Booth.
That's why I know The Kissing Booth.
He's also in that HBO Max series, which is now on Stars, maybe, Minx. He was in the first season of that, where he gets naked. So
he likes to get naked, I guess.
I guess when you got this, if you got it, flaunt it. Boy, I know you want it.
Prince Harry. Or Henry.
Oh, it's too close to reality.
I mean, I think that's why she did it.
Yeah.
It's a fictionalized world. That is interesting, though, that we got two properties that are like, I wish the world was kind of like this. I mean, this one was more in like, this is kind of how people would respond, or like how they feel about it. Heartstopper was a little more fictionalized.
Yeah, it's a little more utopic.
Right.
But, you know, this, if you read the author's note of Red, White, and Royal Blue, Casey does say that this was their response to the 2016 election in saying, I felt so lost that I wanted to create a world where the woman did win the presidency and it was all okay.
Well, that would be great. That would have been great.
Here we are, mugshots out. Not to get political. Yeah. Sorry.
But I mean, this is a political movie in some aspects.
We're being political right now.
Nah, I know. My hat is political enough.
But, you know, RuPaul says something along the lines of, every time I bat my eyelash, it's a political statement.
Yep.
So the fact that you and I are even sitting here as two men who are married, we are political whether we want to be or not.
I don't want to be.
I don't want to be either, and it shouldn't be.
But also, so, okay.
Welcome to our life.
Yeah, yeah. I think, I mean, that's a huge conversation, and it's like, because you're LGBTQIAI+, I mean, it's, you're not a political pawn, no matter how many people want to make it that way. Just do you and love who you love and be great.
You got to, because, yeah. I mean, if we were to be affected by what lawmakers are doing in this point in time, we'd all be crumbling. So
yep.
We have to do our best to fight that in a healthy way that's good for us and our mental health, but also live our lives to the fullest and not be scared.
And also keep having amazing content like this and show them that, yes, this can be number one on Amazon Prime. Yes, Heartstopper could take the world by storm. Yeah. Also, and this is content people want, so shut up.
Shut your gosh darn mouths, you fools.
But speaking of the president,
right? Oh, here we go.
Okay, so we have Uma Thurman.
Uma.
As Madam President.
Yes.
And she's great. I mean, I love Uma so much. But one thing.
Don't.
This is the only critique I will say with the movie. The one thing is her accent was wild.
Look.
It was a lot.
I've never lived in Texas.
I have.
You have. I've been to three different cities. No, four different cities in Texas. Yeah. And I have never met someone with this thick of an accent.
It's more of a southern accent. I wouldn't even necessarily say that's like a Texas yeah. accent, but yeah.
Yeah, she's like, Alex, we're going to need a couple of pizzas. I'm the president of the United States of America. This cake business is ridiculous. You're on the next flight to London.
The cake catastrophe.
It was a catastrophe.
Whenever I heard it, the only thing that came to my mind was Leslie Knope when she was talking. I think it was to Ron Swanson. And she was like, when the sun hits my hair, I just fall to pieces.
Yeah, I just realized the accent that I'm doing is when Jonathan Van Ness does their Southern lady accent.
Yeah.
It's not that, but it's like, oh, man.
It's hammed up, right?
It definitely is. Yeah. It's like they were like, Uma, she's from Texas. And she was like, all right, y'all, I got this. I'm from Texas. I'm the president of the United States of America. That was a little better.
But a little better. I will say, though, there was a meme that came out, and I kind of thought it was really funny, that the Thurman and Hawk family are, like, driving the LGBTQ content right now.
Yes. So, we got Maya as a lesbian in Stranger Things. Ethan's going to be in a gay Western or something like that.
Wild-looking movie. With Pedro Pascal.
With Pedro Pascal.
Yeah. And then we have a...
America's the world's daddy.
Yeah. And then we have a very supportive Madam President now.
That's Uma right. Thurman. That's right. He said, I'm in love with Prince Henry. I'm bisexual. And she said, we're going to need a couple of pizzas and I'm going to get you Truvada.
Sure. I think in the book, they actually had like a slideshow going on.
That's
they
hilarious. Literally,
because that was the line in the movie that she said, like, oh, I should have prepared a slideshow. And she actually, I believe she does in the book. And it's really funny. I think it's great to see good portrayals of parents accepting their kids.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
This is the president we need.
Yeah.
With who the bisexual son. Who will get Truvada for everyone and pizza. Hello. What a great time.
He's great. This movie had some very, very sweet moments in it. And I think now is more when we talk about it, it's like, that's a Heartstopper moment, because Heartstopper created that. I mean, it's not, didn't create them, but it's a word that could be associated with that. And the scene at the New Year's party for Alex's New Year's party, and Get Low is on, which is amazing. But whenever that song comes on and it tells people to get low and they all go down, but they're the ones standing up and staring at each other.
That is like a literal Heartstopper moment. That
it's
is
so sweet.
It's so sweet. And it's them facing each other and facing the thing that they've been fighting.
Especially Alex.
Yes, they've been, they have been spending so much time getting to know each other, not necessarily realizing that's blooming into romance on Alex's part.
Right.
I think Henry for sure was having feelings.
Since the climate conference.
Yes.
Yeah.
And didn't know how to deal with it. And that moment of them, you know, looking at each other, everything slows down, the lights are blinking, and in the background is just the faintest get low. From the windows to the wall.
I like how he was like, did he just say till the sweat drops down my balls?
Yes, he did, baby. Welcome to New Year's Eve.
Welcome to America.
Exactly. Exactly. And after this scene, you know, Henry rushes out because he's having these feelings and Alex follows him. And we get that first kiss in the snow under the tree, just as the year has changed. And of course, Henry's grip on the back of Alex's head when he runs his fingers through his hair, which is something that we see throughout the movie, which is a big deal for Alex because it gives him the vapors.
Yeah. And he understands the difference between football and rugby.
Right. Which is a good lesson for all of us.
Yeah. I liked their coming together scenes. They're figuring it out, you know, especially Alex being like, I mean, I have done things with guys before, but I think this is different because I actually feel for the person. And we have this character in this movie, and I can't stand him,
because, Miguel Ramos,
because he's awful, right?
Yeah.
And you know, Miguel
outing people,
right? And because he gets rejected, he outs him and everything like that, and it's awful. It does happen, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I can't stand him. But you know, there's instances where Alex was with men at some point. Again, it's not the same thing because he feels something for him. There's a character in the book, I believe, he has like a high school friend that he like calls at one point, and he does show up at the end. I was like, oh, they didn't bring in the other Southern guy.
They said, chop him out.
Yeah. But having him come to that realization and him being like, oh, I don't know what this is. What is this? And he goes to his friend about it. And she's like, hello, like, I'm not going to say it. You have to say it. Like, let's just piece these together. And what do you think?
I will say in this scene, having a conversation as sensitive as this in a room with walls made of glass, probably not the best place to do it.
Especially when you're the president's son.
Yeah.
Also, that girl that just walked in.
Rude. Obviously, they're having a conversation.
The door's closed. Doesn't matter that you could see through it.
She's like, I don't care. I'm coming in here. And then she heard and she was like, oh, yeah, I got the dirt on Alex. But I love that scene. I love the character of Nora as well. One, she's adorable. But two, she's super supportive.
Yeah.
She really is Alex's best friend in all of this and is just willing to like hold his hand through it.
Yeah.
She's leading him to where she knows he's going.
Yeah, she's like, did you like it? And he's like, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, that's a yes. So what does this mean?
You got this. You could do it. But, you know, sometimes you need that push, right?
Right.
You're scared to say the actual thing. And when there's someone who's being supportive right in front of you, it helps you get there.
Yeah, yeah.
And Alex has that moment.
They definitely mixed. So in the book, he has a sister, June. And there's also Nora. So Nora does exist in the book. But I do feel like they mesh the characters together, which is fine. I don't think like he needed a sister. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I didn't miss it.
No, I didn't miss it. But it does feel imbalanced as far as like the families on either side.
He has like seven brothers and
exactly.
sisters.
Exactly. Like Henry has like a whole palace worth of people. The grandfather comes later on. There's a staff. And then it's just like Alex, mom and dad.
Yeah.
And Nora sometimes.
But also you have Zara and you have Amy. So you got the other people rounded out.
That's true. You're right.
I love Zara so much. She's amazing.
Zara.
What is she, like, head of staff or like
something like that for his mom? Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember. But I just love how she's like, whenever they do these fictionalized, like, you know, West Wing type things, I love that, like, person that's in the upper staff that, like, deals with people, but, like, in a non-professional way. And we'll, like, throw pillows at them and chase them around and just, like, walk into the room and being like, who is in here?
She's
I love it.
Yeah, she's like Amy from Veep. She's just, like, always clutching a cell phone and, like, it's always code red.
Yeah.
It's like, everything is intense. But, yeah, that scene in the hotel room, how rude. He was in the buff and she still came in.
And she saw him, too.
She saw his front parts.
Yeah, and we saw his back parts.
Yeah, he's got quite a nice booty. Yeah. And a quote just came out from the director where Taylor Zakhar Perez was having like a meltdown of whether or not his butt was hairy and he needed to shave it. And so there's like a moment in the trailer where he drops trow in front of the director and the director's like, you're fine.
Yeah.
You don't have to shave anything. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I think fair for him to ask. You know what I mean? It's like, if I'm going to be like this, is this camera ready, guys? Like, is this okay?
Does this look okay? He just wanted a compliment. Yes, he's like, can you bounce quarters off it? You can. Okay. It's perfect.
Oh, I like how we got kind of too similar in feeling, but like one is a little more explicit and one is definitely more sweet. We have Heartstopper where it's like having the conversation about sex and it's not about the sex part and it's about them finding each other and building a relationship. And even though Red, White, and Royal Blue is very much that, they're older. So we do get a little more realistic instances of gay sex.
Yeah. And I mean, to comment on that, it does feel like a natural progression as far as the audience is concerned, right?
Right.
Anyone can enjoy Heartstopper, but it is based off young adult novels. And so mostly young adults are going to be watching that. And then as we go into Heartstopper, it's an adult movie.
Red, White, and Royal Blue.
What did I say? Heartstopper again.
Yeah.
Heartstopper part two, the other Heartstopper.
Yeah, no.
Red, White, and Royal Blue. Yeah, it's for adults. And so we're going to see adults having sex.
Right.
Now, do I think that this is rated R type sex? Personally, I do not.
Nope.
I mean, we see one butt when they're not even together.
Twice. Yeah.
And then when they do have their first time together in Paris, it's a beautiful scene.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. I think it apparently opened straight people's eyes to how gay people can have sex.
Wow.
Can have sex.
They can have sex.
But this is what I mean. It's like, yeah, we watch straight people have sex all the time in movies.
Ugh.
I just watched the last episode and Just Like That.
Oh.
And there's literally a scene where all of them are having sex. And it's like, you know, people are riding each other. We're
right.
Seeing full bodies. And in this, it's very close and intimate, which, again, I think is a beautiful choice.
Yep.
But is it rated R sex?
I mean, I think that is a question, right? It's like, I'm curious on, like, is it different for some streaming platforms than others? Because there are some, like Sense8, I think is 100% mature because the sex scenes in there are very explicit and also
visceral.
Multiple people. In here,
orgies.
Right. And in here, it's like I've seen PG-13 movies where like I've seen frontal and back. And it's like I'm curious on like what the rated R-ness of this is. It's not really a problem for me because I'm an adult and I can watch it.
Right.
But I almost, you know, maybe some parents are like, no, you can't watch this because it's rated R. And it's like, I don't think it's any worse than any PG-13 movie you could see.
Well, right. And so the thing that makes me question it is that, is it because it's two men? And
right.
So when I think about a movie that I love, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, right? We see Jason Segel's penis in that.
Oh, yeah.
We see Mila Kunis' breasts in
right.
that. We see Kristen Bell trying to give Jason Segel oral sex,
right.
perform oral sex. And those are full on shots. There's
right.
no tight shots. There's no, it's like you're seeing her try to do this. You're seeing him drop his towel and his penis is there. And that movie is rated R. So is it because they're straight that it's okay?
Maybe it's just the amount of times you see the butt.
Two butts?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think it is an interesting conversation and maybe we can look into it a little more or maybe we'll just reach out to Matthew Lopez and be like, hey, why?
You know, I just had a thought in my head and with this, I feel like I keep saying this, with the state of the way things are right now for LGBT people, if it was any more descriptive in what we're seeing, would it have been, you know, attacked?
Oh, probably.
And so maybe this was a choice.
Right.
And again, it was a beautiful scene. I think that they did it perfectly. It was very tender for a first time of two people coming together with one person who's never had sex with someone of the same sex. But yeah, I just think it was really interesting.
Yeah. I think also just to kind of go into that scene a little bit, it's very real. I think it's a real depiction of two people of the same sex, particularly men, having sex. Because one, right before that, the conversation is like, you know, Alex is like, well, like who's going to, you know, and he's talking about bottoming and because he's nervous and he's like, I've never done this before. And Henry's like, well, we'll do this together. Like, it's fine. Like, calm down. But I did like that they showed that they used condoms, you know,
two condoms.
But I did like that they showed that. Right. And yeah. It's like, you know, be smart about this. But the scene of them actually having sex, I mean, I don't think I've really seen a scene like that for having, I mean, that I can remember of gay sex, because, you know, we have Brokeback Mountain, which is a good movie, but it has its issues. And that's kind of like an extreme version of like two men having sex and also not really realistic. And so I think it paints a weird picture of like just, you know, not loving and not, you know, intimate in that way. So I'm glad we got this scene because it's something, you know, I can point to Heartstopper and be like, this is what kids go through, especially LGBTQ kids and, you know, with the family and everything like that. And this one I can say, oh, this is what they go through in their adult lives and in positions of like jobs and stuff, but also how relationships work within that.
And some of the conversations that you have to have.
Yeah.
Just in general or about sex, and you have to be open and communication is important. And
it's key.
Communication is key. It did a really good job, but those are just sort of my musings on what the heck.
Yeah. But I think overall, this movie did a good job of kind of bookending it. And I feel like, you know, you didn't know how much time passed by until they were like, it's been a year. And it's like, oh, geez, it has been a year, you know. But I think it's fun. I almost wish there was like, it was like a 6-part series almost, because it would have been nice to kind of see their relationship grow more, even though I think the movie did a great job, but I also just want more. Mm. You know, I like them so much. I think they're so sweet together. And I kind of want to see like, how is England going to deal with a gay prince? How is America going to deal with a, you know, bisexual first son? You know, I kind of want to see what that's like, and hopefully in a fictionalized reality, it's great.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, She did say something. So she did an AMA, I think it was on Twitter, and someone had asked, Kate had asked Casey McQuiston, who proposes to who?
Oh, right.
And they answered, well, I can't say that because it would be a spoiler. So it feels like something is coming or something's in the works.
So I'm also curious, though, if that has to do with, so the collector's edition that we talked about earlier, there's a bonus chapter in Henry's point of view after the fact of after the initial series, and it's about their future. So I hope it's not that, because then we're probably getting more, because it would be nice to get more. And I think I would like another one. You know, it's such an easy read. You could do the audiobook, you can physically read it. It's a rom-com, so it's not like you're not going to be reading something that's philosophically like hard to understand. It's such an easy read and such an easy watch.
So when I read this book, I was serving on the Walter Award Committee from We Need Diverse Books. And I had been reading a lot of, you know, children's and young adult books. Mm. And the publisher had sent this to us and I was like, score. And I was like, I need a break from just like purely YA teenage characters. And I could not stop reading this book.
Right.
It's so readable. The writing is so fun and so uplifting. And you know, it has that enemies to lovers thing, and you really get to feel them getting to know each other.
It's like
and
pomp and circumstance.
Yeah. It's just, it's such a good read, and I couldn't put it down. So I highly recommend it. And I would also, I think me not wanting that tidbit in Henry's extra chapters because I selfishly just want another book.
Right. Right. Well, right. And I hope it's, you know, something more. And, you know, they have a bunch of other books out, so I'm sure that, you know, those are just as good, but I want another.
Yeah, yeah.
Ryan Royal Blue.
So they have one last stop, which actually makes an appearance in movie, because they go to visit Alex's father's lake house.
Yeah.
And they're laying in a hammock together, and Alex is reading One Last Stop, which is a very cool New York sapphic novel. And then they also have a YA novel, I Kissed Shara Wheeler.
Mm.
It's definitely Shara Wheeler. I don't know if it's I've Kissed Them, but that's the title of that book. So I can't wait to see what they're coming out with next.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's red, white, and royal or blue. Or
red, white, and royal or blue.
Yeah.
That's hard to say.
More red, more white, and definitely royal redder, or blue.
Redder, white, and royal or blue.
Casey, let us know.
Yeah.
That's the working title.
Just DM us. You know, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
We'll gladly give it up.
100%. But yeah, I want to see more of their relationship. I want to see more of their lives now where they can truly be themselves and be out and be together.
Right. You know, and I want to see kind of what the Claremont Diaz presidency looks like. And if Alex does go on to be like a senator and stuff like that, because in the book, he does struggle with that. And he's going to school and, you know, he ends up working in the campaign trail and everything, and he wants to like become a senator and he wants to eventually run. But there's some things that give him trepidation in that throughout the book and the story. And so I'm curious if he does actually do that kind of thing. I also, just from like a personal standpoint, I did like that it was based in Texas and specifically Austin. That's where they're from. So it was very much like, yeah, that like, are they from Austin? Do you know if Casey's from
I don't Texas? Actually.
Because just the way they describe some of the things from living there, I'm like, yeah, that's true. Like, oh, I know that place. Like, it's just cool. It's just, oh, not many books are based in Austin or mention them, you know?
Mm-mm-mm.
It's just nice. It's nice.
Well, get on it, Casey. We're waiting.
But I think this movie was great. If I had to rate it, I give it 4.5. out of five, and only it would have been a perfect five if we got the Rafael Luna storyline, because he's the guy that works for the Richard guy in the book. He's briefly mentioned in this one. It's the person that his mom's running against, and he ends up like, he's like a gay confidant to Alex and mentor. And I just like that character a lot, and he struggles with his own things. Also, I kind of do miss June a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's like just those little tiny things from a book perspective, my wish, but you know, 4.5, I think it's fantastic. This is the type of media that like we've been waiting for. It's just good. It's sweet. It's a real look at these types of things.
I think I'm gonna give it a four, a solid four.
Wow, I usually do less.
I know. We're just crazy these days.
I'm sick and I'm being very,
he's very
generous.
Sappy right now. I think some of the observations that you just mentioned also, I don't know. I just needed a little bit more of a natural progression from them going from enemies to lovers. I went like enemies and then bam, they're falling in love.
Right.
So I just needed a little bit more, maybe a little more time in the hospital, maybe a little more time of them together in England personally. But overall, it's swoony as heck.
Yeah.
You know, the whole cast is just wonderful. They did such good jobs bringing this book to life. I believe the love story. I love the love story. And it made me chuckle a whole bunch.
It was rather funny.
It was really funny. One of my favorite scenes is when they finally reunite. And, you know, Alex's bodyguard says, I can get you the red room. And Henry comes in ready to apologize for kissing him on New Year's. And he says, shut up, stop talking.
Yeah.
And they just smash.
Yeah.
And then the bodyguard walks in and they're like pretending to like look at stuff on the walls. The way it was edited, the beat was perfect for that piece of comedy.
Yeah.
So yeah, all around, it's a fantastic, wonderful, lighthearted, lovely film. And I'm giving it a four.
Give it more adjectives.
That's how I truly feel.
Yeah. I was waiting for more. I was like,
what else can I come up with? Southern.
Swoony.
Fantastical.
Head over heels.
Blue, red, white.
Royal. I really, really, just to put like a like pinpoint on like one of my favorite scenes in it, is the museum. When they go to the museum after it's closed, I love that scene so much. I think it's aesthetically and beautifully shot. I think the voiceover over them just like kind of doing this like rotating around themselves, but also statues of like the ideal man. It's just, it's so cool. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he's like, I had always wished to dance here with somebody I love. And Alex is like, well, we love each other. So boop, woohoo. Yeah.
What about the staircase scene when all their emails are released and Alex runs to him and they crash together on the stairs and they fall? Oh, he calls so him good. Baby.
So good. One of the funniest moments for me. We always do this at the end of the reviews.
We're like, here's our final rating, but then here's 30 other things that we like.
But the thing that the first thing that Alex does in the movie, and he's like looking out the window and he goes, so.
Yes, I love that too.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that is perfect.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so, so good. Go watch this. I mean, if you listen to this and you haven't watched it or you have watched it, go watch it again. We watched it a few times. It's just, it's going to be one of those movies where it's like, oh, I'm going to put this on because I just want to feel happy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I enjoyed watching it a second time and I know it won't be my last time watching it.
I also found out from watching it and you were like, Stephen Fry plays the grandfather.
Oh, the king.
Yeah. I didn't know he was gay in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Cool. I love when they get a homosexual to play a real stodgy straight person. Yeah,
that doesn't like gay people. Yeah, and it's like,
fantastic.
I know. I've seen what you do outside of this.
Representation. Yeah,
it is really cool. I like that a lot. Okay. Well, that's Red, White, and Royal Blue.
We hope you have a royal day. Go pamper yourself. Get a scone. Crumpets.
Goodbye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to A Bite Of. Artwork and editing by our own Noah. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at A Bite Of Pod and on Facebook at A Bite Of. If you have any questions, recommendations, or just want to say hi, you can contact us on abiteofpod.com. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review to spread the word. See you next time on A Bite Of. Bye.